Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Raley. And well, I tell you, it's been a quite an interesting few days here. And praise God for winter. I think this is God's judgment for allowing Jerry Jones to bring the Super Bowl here. So always like God to poke a little fun at him, you know. So but I hope that you have been safe and that that you've got all your bones intact and without any problem. We'll not be here long tonight. I do want to kind of use it more or less as a little bit of a study tonight. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We're going to read verse 11, 12, and 13. Ephesians 4, 11, 12, and 13. I want to speak to you tonight for just a moment, folks, about measuring spiritual growth. How do you measure whether you're growing or not? How do you measure in your Christian life whether you are have grown from week to week, month to month, year to year? How do you measure that? And I want to take a look, if you would, in Ephesians 4. Would you stand with me for just a moment? We're going to begin reading in verse number 11. Paul says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." That's the growing part. "For the work of the ministry," another part of the spiritual growth. "For the edifying of the body of Christ," another part of spiritual growth. Now I want you to notice this. He says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man." Now, here's what I want you to underline in your Bible. He said, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He says, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And I want to use these verses tonight as kind of just a beginning point and speak to you about measuring spiritual growth. Now, Lord, we do want to grow spiritually, and we do want to make sure that we are growing and that we're not sliding backwards away from your will. And so I pray that you'd open our heart and our eyes tonight from the Scriptures and show us something, Lord, about how we can measure if we're growing, if we're getting to the place in our Christian life where we need to be. And so would you open our hearts and minds tonight for the few moments that we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, units of measurement are everywhere. In school, our kids use rulers or yardsticks, or on the construction site, they'll use tapes. At home, we'll use scales. that will are units that tell us how things are progressing or where things are. We use these types of things as forms and units of measuring. For instance, my wife got in the kitchen last night and cooked up some homemade, not box, homemade brownies. And so she has measuring cups. Now, listen carefully. The reason you have measuring cups and you measure everything is because you don't want to put too much of something in, but you also want to make sure that you've got enough involved in that to make the brownies exactly like they need to be. Well, you know, God uses certain things that I think for us to help us measure our spiritual growth. And he's not going to use a measuring cup. He's not going to use a tape or a yardstick or a scale. He's not going to use what many use, a rain gauge to measure rainfall in, or a gas gauge to measure fuel from, or an air pump to measure pressure. Not going to use any of that. So what is God going to use? We got all these little gadgets that we're all involved with about to help us keep track of measuring things. Now, some people may say, well, preacher, how do you measure spiritual growth? You can't measure that because it's a faith. How do you measure faith? Well, did you know the Bible tells us that you can measure faith? Take your Bible, go to James chapter 2 for just a moment. You'll remember this once you get there. He said, oh, man, yeah, I forgot this was in the Bible. James 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. But look at verse 18. He says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Then look at this. Show me thy faith without thy works. And he said, I will show thee my faith by my works. So faith is measured by the level of works that one does in the work of God, in their service for Jesus Christ. If you'll notice in Matthew 17, don't turn there, verse 20. Remember, Jesus talked about having faith as a grain of mustard seed. That's not a very big seed, but it is measurable, right? He said, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done unto thee. So faith can be measured. Now, we probably should make it a regular practice in our lives to measure our spiritual growth from time to time. By the way, we ought to be eager to do so. I don't know about you. Don't you want to know if you're growing or not? Don't you want to know if you have grown between last year and this year? Don't you want to know that you have grown in your faith and in your service for God and in your growth for Jesus Christ? And listen, I don't know about you. I want to know that I've grown from month to month and from year to year. Okay, so how do we measure that? How do we know that we are growing in the Lord and that we've made some spiritual progress? Well, in school, one of the things that they, kind of the rule of thumb, that kind of the basis in the schools, they give you the three R's, correct, Brother Combs? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now, whoever did this had to be from the Deep South. Okay, arithmetic. Forget the A, right? Arithmetic. So they teach you the three R's: reading, writing, arithmetic. Tonight, I'm going to give you the three R's, all right? This is how you gauge your spiritual growth in your Christian life. The first R is relationships. Relationships. Take your Bible, if you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, it's important that our relationships in our Christian life are right. This is going to be one of the ways that you gauge, that you're able to actually physically measure whether you're growing in the Lord or not, okay? So, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Peter writes here, he says, as newborn babes, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So one of the ways that you can measure your spiritual growth is by relationships. First of all, your relationship to the Word of God. You can measure whether you're growing in the Lord by how much time you're spending in the book, by how much desire you have for the book. The Bible, you've heard said many times, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And so your relationship to the Word of God is very, very important. Again, you say, preacher, I'm so sick and tired of you hearing you talk about getting in the Bible and getting the Word of God in you, reading through the Bible in a year. Well, get sick of it, because you're going to hear it all the time. Because if we don't get the Word of God, if our relationship to the Word of God is not right, you're not going to be right. You're not going to grow. You're not going to take this book when you leave tonight and close it up, sit it on the shelf, and not open it again until next Sunday and think you're going to grow. You're not. It's your growth. How do you measure whether you're growing? It's your relationship to that book. Do you believe that we have in our hand the Word of God for us in the English language, in the King James Bible? All right, if we believe that, and we believe the promises of God are true, and we believe that it is inerrant, inspired, preserved. We do believe that, right? Okay, if we believe that, then our relationship to this book is going to determine whether you're growing or not. How much time are you spending in this book? Are you memorizing Scripture? Are you hiding it in your heart that you might not sin against God? Well, your relationships are one of the ways that you gauge how you're growing. Your relationship to the Word of God. May I say to you, number two, take your Bible, go if you would, to the book of Hebrews. Y'all excuse me, I'm drinking 3 Old Day water, but I had to... You got to do what you got to do. Hebrews chapter... By the way, all you ladies have been telling me all these old wives' fables about what to do for your throat. I think y'all did that on purpose to give me a stomachache. In particular, whoever that was told me about apple cider vinegar. That's devil spit. That's what that is. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay? Hebrews 10. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Notice verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now remember what I talked about. If we're going to determine whether we're growing spiritually, the first R, like reading, writing, arithmetic, what we're doing to gauge our spiritual growth is relationships. First of all, our relationship to the Word of God. Number two, our relationship to the church. Our relationship to the church. Do we enjoy coming to church? Are we looking forward to coming to church? Do we enjoy serving through the local church? You see, church should be a priority in our life. Now, I know it's hard to think this far in advance, but particularly when you go outside and it's, 12 degrees and wind chill factor of 0, it's kind of hard to think about spring. But when spring comes, it's amazing how the priorities of God's people change. All of a sudden, our priorities are no longer on being at church services when the doors are open. Our priorities then become other things outside of church. And again, listen, folks, I'm not against having family outings. I'm not against getting your kids involved in sports and stuff. But listen, when those things become priority, then you're totally out of whack. Now, all I'm saying to you is this. Just make sure to keep church in the forefront, okay? Keep your family active. Particularly get your boys out there. Get them in spring baseball. Get them in soccer. Get them active. Get them out in front of the TV set. Get them out doing something. Just keep church as a priority in life. You see, it's important. Church, you need to include that as in the structure of your weekly activities that you're participating in. So relationships are one of the ways that you can determine your spiritual growth. Your relationship to the Word, your relationship to the church. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you take advantage of your church? Do you take advantage of the pastor or staff of the church? Do you take liberties that are not yours to take in the church? You see, someone that is not growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord will use the church to their advantage, to take advantage of situations, such as coming to church and someone, and again, I'm just using just an off-the-cuff illustration, okay? By the way, before I say this, let me preface this. I'm all for tithing members, but just because we tithe doesn't mean that that anything at the church that you want to take is yours. I said, just because you tithe doesn't give us the liberty to take whatever at the church we want to take. And that includes stuff people put in the refrigerator. Say, preacher, have you ever put something in the refrigerator for lunch, somebody taking it? Okay, so what I'm saying is, you know how you can gauge spiritual growth? It's by your relationship to the church. Keep your hands off the refrigerator. Get out of the refrigerator. Okay? Now, I'm being facetious, but really to say that it is important, our relationship to our church. How do we treat the property of the church of God? When we go in to one of the restrooms, and let's say, gentlemen, we go in, one of the urinals is running, we think, man, you know what, they really need to get that fixed. And walk out and not go over there and try to do something to stop the water from running over onto the floor. Well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm gonna let Pastor Todd know, he needs to get Dave over here and get this cleaned up. You see, that tells you something about the relationship you have to your church. That is not a good sign of spiritual growth, right? So, listen. When we come to church, it ought to be a love relationship, not only among the people of God, but for the church, the property of God. You see, everything that is in these buildings belongs to God. Everything does. That's the reason, mamas and daddies, we need to watch our kids. Make sure they're not taking gum out of their mouth, sticking it under the pew or on the seat or doing something to destroy property. We've got to keep an eye on it. Why? This is the house of God. All right, so relationship, the relationship to the Word of God, relationship to the church, and turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3 for just a second there. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse number 10, if you would. Paul writes here, very familiar verse to you. He says, that I may know Him. That's Jesus, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Look at the first statement that he makes. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Remember I said one of the ways that you can tell and measure spiritual growth is by relationships to the Word of God, to the church, number three, to Jesus. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it the type of relationship that is honoring, that is loyal, that is respectful, that is caring, that has a desire of submission to follow through with His commands and follow Him with all your heart, soul, and mind? It's relationships. Now listen, I could go on about the church. I left a bunch of it out just for sake of time tonight. But you know, how you relate to the people of God in the church also is a way you can measure whether you're growing or not. But that leads me to the second R, okay? The first R is relationships. Your relationship to the Word, to the church, and your relationship with Jesus Christ. The second R is response. Response. Let's take a look at a few scriptures here and just to cover a couple of things. First of all, let's see, go to Philippians 4. We're right there close. Go to Philippians 4. The second R, the second way that you can measure spiritual growth is not just by relationships, but by your response. Your response. Look, if you would, in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Now, you know what? I was born and raised in Mississippi, went to school in Mississippi, but I think I can interpret that when he says in everything. What they taught us where I went to school, that means everything. He says, in everything, notice what it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. One of the ways that you can determine your spiritual growth is by relationships, but also your response to God. Do you have a prayer life? What do you do? What do you incorporate in that prayer life? James chapter 5, verse number 16. You go there and you'll find, not you don't turn there, but you can look it up in your spare time, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, when we get in a situation, is our initial response prayer or panic? Okay, what is our initial response? When you get a situation, and boy, I'm telling you, with the roads like they are, you can get in a situation real quick. Go home tonight, God forbid, but you slide off the road, slide into a tree, or slide into somebody. Is your initial response to panic? Or is your initial response to stop and say, Lord, thank you, I'm alive. I'm alive. And thank God that things weren't worse than they could have been. You see, many times you can gauge your growth based on response. How are you responding to God? Do you pray or do you worry? Now listen, we got lots of folks. If God answered worrying, my goodness, man, our church would be in incredible shape, wouldn't it? But most people don't pray, they worry, which basically is nothing more than a lack of faith in God. So how are we responding? Do we panic or do we pray? When a family crisis comes up, do you panic or do you pray? When you have a crisis, a financial crisis, do you panic or do you pray? I'm just asking, you know what that is? It's one of the ways to gauge your growth and where you are in your Christian life. The second thing I want to mention here is not only are asking the question, do you pray or do you worry? Do you panic or do you pray? But may I ask you, do you give or do you take? I said, do you give or do you take? This is how you gauge, see, whether you're growing in the Lord. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians 9. We're pretty close there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful responder, a giver. How do we respond? It's one of the ways that we can gauge our growth. In other words, we have a project, say. Say we come pretty soon, we have a project in the church, and we work on that, and we pray about that, and we have a target date. We're going to take a love offering on such and such date to cover this project. Our response to that many times is going to determine our growth. Well, I'm sorry, preacher, I just don't have it. Well, let me ask you this. What if we projected something out 6 months from now, don't you think maybe we could save a little bit to give toward the project? You see, all I'm saying to you is our response in giving or taking, it gauges. It's one of the ways that we gauge our growth. And then also, do you forgive or do you mark? Do you forgive or do you mark people? You know, when you go and look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, you don't have to turn there, but it tells us that we're to forgive one another as Christ, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we're to forgive people as oft as they come, desiring forgiveness. Do we forgive or do we mark? Or do we hold grudges? If a brother and sister comes and they're repentant and they want forgiveness, do you know the Bible says you're to give them forgiveness and vice versa? So one of the ways to gauge Our growth is our relationships to the Word, to the church, to the Lord. Our response. Do we pray or do we panic? Do we give or do we take? Do we forgive or do we mark? Well, let me give you one more. And that is the third thing that we can look at tonight about gauging and measuring our spiritual growth is relationships, response, and then your reach. How far you're reaching. Your reach. Are you reaching people? Remember we studied not too long ago, John 15. Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask what you will, it should be done unto you. That word abiding literally means connected, to stay connected to Him. And you know, when you stay connected to the Lord and you stay in the Bible and you stay in prayer, you can't help but reach people because the Spirit of God gives you a burden for souls and for people. You see, reaching the lost for Jesus Christ is one of the ways that we can gauge our growth. You know, the most exciting thing is to see people come and get into church and grow, and then next thing you know, you see them out on Thursday or Saturday getting ready to, listen, they want to go soul winning. They were going to tell somebody about Christ. Or they come to you and say, preacher, you know them little, you know them little things, them little blue and green things you carry around in your pocket? Yeah, you talking about tracts? Yeah, can I have some of them? I said, man, I'm going to load you up, man. And boy, you just reach down there and give them a big old handful of tracts. Man, you give them everything. Just go in there and give them a whole fistful of tracts there. And tell them, say, go put them out everywhere. But listen, you know what that is? That is spiritual growth. That's one of the ways that you can measure people growing, is whether they're reaching the lost. Secondly, whether they're reaching the fallen. Whether you're reaching the fallen. Remember Galatians 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So one of the ways that you can gauge and measure that growth is not only relationships and response, but who are you reaching? Are you reaching lost people? Are you reaching out to the fallen? People that have stumped their toe and people that maybe have gotten off a track and gotten involved in something they shouldn't have gotten involved in. Listen, folks, the thing about it is, you know, most people that sit in the pew will know pretty much most everything that's going on 2 weeks before the preacher ever knows. You know what you need to do? Do something about it. Help people. Listen, you've heard many times preachers say, well, the preacher in the church, a lot of times the last person to know a lot of things. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of times the folks in the pew know long before the preacher ever knows that there's an issue with a marriage, with a teenager, with a person, with a situation. You know what we need to do? We need to reach out to those people. We need to extend a right hand of fellowship to those people. You see, when you do that and you have a burden and a heart to do that, that's a sign, that's a measuring device of growth in your life. So reaching the lost, reaching the fallen, and then let me say number three, reaching the hurting. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of not just some, all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So, we can measure our spiritual growth by our reach. Reaching the lost, reaching the fallen, reaching the hurting people. Boy, I'm telling you. You know, it's often been said that the church serves to some degree as a spiritual hospital. People come to church with hurts. People come to church with tremendous needs that they desire to be attended to. You know, I don't want this church, I don't want any good church to become a hospital waiting room where people come to church and they sit in the pew, but nobody waits on them. And you understand what I say by waiting. I literally mean that nobody ministers to them. Nobody says anything to them. Nobody reaches out to them. What would it be like somebody go down here to the local hospital and they go in there with a severe situation and they tell you, go sit in the waiting room. You go sit in the waiting room in there, 1 hour goes by, 2 hours go by, 6 hours go by, and they finally come out and say, you're still here? Yeah, I'm still here. Nobody said anything to me. Well, you should have said something. We forgot you was here. That kind of happens a lot in the church too. People come, and if you're not careful, you know what? We forget you're here. That's the reason it's important. The preacher can't make it around to every single person. You know how many people are here on Sunday? Over 1,000 people are here on Sundays across the property. From time to time, I've been trying to make it a habit to make my way down to the Spanish ministry, get to meet more of our Spanish families in our church that are attending our Spanish ministry. Why? Because, listen, I want them to know that even though you're there and I'm here, we're not separated from each other. We're one church under this big umbrella here of English and Spanish. But if we're not careful, we'll forget. People have been coming so long, we just think, well, they don't have any needs. They never hurt. They never go through any problems. Look at them. They've been coming to church here 18 years, 10 years, 5 years. They can't have any problems because they're always smiling. But you know, some people smile to cover the hurt. And they just smile to cover up the hurts. All I'm saying to you, church, you know how we can gauge spiritual growth is by being able to identify the hurts of people and minister to them and help them along the way. So the three R's are this. They're not reading, writing, and arithmetic now, but they're similar. They're relationships, response, and reach. Those are three ways that you can gauge and measure your growth. And if you find out that your relationship to the Word of God, to the church, and to the Lord has increased, there's been just a hunger for the Word of God, you know what? You're on the right track. You're growing. And then when your response, how you respond to the Lord, and do you panic or do you pray? Are you giving or are you taking? You know, your response. I mean, when the preacher says, we're going to take up a love offering for brother so-and-so in such and such church over here that's struggling, we're going to take up a love offering tonight. Do we say, oh, not another one? That indicates your growth. You know, the scripture says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. We ought to be looking for ways that we can give. And then our reach. Are we reaching the lost? Are we reaching the fallen? Are we reaching the hurting? You can gauge it. You can measure whether you're growing or not. And church, I'm just saying to you that we ought to do that quite often so that we know that we're growing in the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved, born again.